The best time to do special time, actually, is to look at your day and find that part of the day that is the hardest one. So sometimes morning are the hardest, sometimes getting back from school, or the transition to dinner, or from dinner to going to bed. So just look at your day and find that spot that is just the hardest one. And with my daughter, coming home back from school was just the hardest. When she first started kindergarten, just started school, she had a really hard time coping with the new environment and all the different requirements that kids are expected to follow these days. And she was giggling and visiting with her friends and not really paying attention to what her teacher said. And that was very hard on her teacher, who at some stage offered me to put her on some kind of a reward system, like a sticker chart or something of the sort. And I wasn't really keen of that, and I said, well, I'm going to try and find another solution for that. And it wasn't just hard on her teacher, because it was really hard on me, too, because just picking her up from school was sometimes a nightmare. She would run away, didn't want to go in the car, hide. So you could obviously tell that a full day at school was something that she had a hard time to deal with. And probably right around then, it was the middle year in kindergarten, I started to use special time right after school and before doing anything else, before tackling homework, before anything else. And even though we could only do usually between 5 to 7 minutes daily, I found it to be really effective. Sometimes we also added a little roughhousing at night just before bedtime, but that didn't always happen. But with special time, I tried to really make it like a daily routine at those days. And this was actually getting us closer and much more connected. And what I would often see, often happen, is that the ending of special time or the transition to start homework after that brought up all kinds of upsets for her. When you do special time, you bring a lot of warmth and connection to your relationship with your child. And closeness that is and connectedness that is built really helps them to cry about those issues that made them feel disconnected. And now that she felt so close and connected, my daughter could really offload all those feelings that she had that were really blocking her thinking. As we were doing this daily routine, and it was a work in progress, like always, this is not a quick fix here. You really have to work through it and be patient with it. I could really feel that things were going much smoother for us at home. But only after 4 or 5 months into the first grade, actually, I kind of realized how the things that we were doing at home was shifting things for my daughter at school as well. Because I remember one day coming to pick her up from school, and her teacher came to me and said how well she did at school and how she always persevered to get better. And she was noticing that, and I was noticing actually too, that a year back when she was in kindergarten, she was struggling with memorizing those first 25 high-frequency words that kids at kindergarten are required to know. And by the time she was in the middle of first grade, not only did she know all the 100 words that first graders are required to know, but she also knew most of the 200 words that are required for second grade. So I guess through the special time and stay listening that we did so frequently, I feel like I was helping her to free some of the space that was used. I mean, she didn't choose to do it, but it was used for worries and fears. And instead, it was now free to be used for learning and paying attention and being motivated, which she probably enjoyed much more than before.